Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Welcome back to Matt Quinn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more to go through. I'm pleased to announce that the Votorama ended about 4:30 a.m. Central Time this morning. What am I talking about? What's the Votorama? The Votorama is, it's a very, very arcane Senate procedure that should be changed. But what it basically does is, when you put in a major bill like the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, there's no real limit on how many amendments people can put in. And when you have a Republican Party that's as corrupt as this one, they deliberately put in hundreds of amendments to slow it up and try to kill it and demand a vote on every one. And what the and in this case, they had more than 400 of them, 400 amendments. And what the Democrats then did is said, great, well, we're going to stay here all night. You're going to vote on them. And a lot of these people are short hitters. They're short hitters. And they don't like staying up, but you got to make them stay up. Well, there are a couple of fascinating developments. Basically, all of them either failed, or if they passed, there was a reason for it. And now you got a bill, and it's likely today it'll be voted out. Certainly 51-50 with Kamala Harris breaking the tie. There might be a Republican or two. I don't know. But here's one of the fascinating little tidbits. Joe Manchin of West Virginia is center right as a Democrat. He's moderate, but he's the most conservative Democrat. And Collins of Maine is very shifty, and she tries to make herself look moderate, maybe even a little left sometime, and bamboozle the people in Maine, and somehow she's managed to do it. Collins and Manchin switched sides so that when one of them, on two votes, and one of them, Manchin, voted with the Republicans and Collins with the Democrats, so it had no practical ultimate effect. I've got to think they talked about that. I've got to think they talked about that. That's too coincidental. But here are the votes, and it both let each of them appeal to some of their constituency to make them look bipartisan. First of all, Ron Johnson, remember him? You know who he is? He's, my name is Ron Johnson. I come from Wisconsin. I work for Moscow there. He's our guy. Betrayed the state, betrayed the country. He put in an amendment to slow things up. And the amendment says it would prohibit the cancellation of any contracts for border barriers. In other words, the walls, the wall with Mexico. On that one, Manchin voted with the Republicans, said, yeah, I want to have this amendment to prohibit Biden from canceling contracts for those barriers that Trump signed. Collins, who's trying to appeal a little bit to Democrats up in Maine, she's pulled the wool over their eyes a lot. She votes for the Democrats. So it turned out to be 50-50, and Kamala Harris broke the tie in the favor of the Democrats. The other one where Collins and Manchin did this, there's an amendment by Mike Lee of Utah, very conservative guy, very, very conservative guy. And he put an amendment that he said was deficit neutral. In other words, whatever it would cost, they were going to grab it as something else. And it said, it stopped the possibility of infringement on the free exercise of religion. Now, that's has nothing to do with COVID relief, nothing to do with the $1.9 trillion. The First Amendment prohibits any interference with the free exercise of religion. There's plenty of Supreme Court cases. If Congress passes a bill, it's subject to scrutiny anyway for constitutionality. This is a pure BS play by Lee out in Utah. That's all it is. But Manchin needs a few props for his next campaign, so he votes for it. And Collins, trying to smarm around and look a little progressive, votes against it. And again, it was 50-50, and Kamala Harris broke the tie. All these guys are doing, you got to understand what's going on here. Everybody is trying to set up everybody else for TV ads that with an ominous voice say, this one voted for or against this wall, or this thing having to do with religion. And that's what's happening. But as a result, the bill came out basically the way we wanted. Biden wanted it, and it got wrapped up by 4:30 a.m. this morning. We're looking forward to a vote and then budget reconciliation, and it'll be passed with 51 votes instead of 60. So Joe Biden should get his first important foreign domestic policy victory. Joni Ernst, you've heard of Joni Ernst? Joni Ernst, senator from Iowa, again, not the sharpest sword in the regiment, not the sharpest sword in the regiment. She has a brilliant idea, and she thinks she can take on Bernie Sanders. So she goes, okay, I'm going to put in an amendment that says we will not increase the minimum wage to $15 during the pandemic. Okay. And she goes, well, you know, Bernie and the rest of them will vote against it, and we'll really get them. We'll really get them with video and all that in the campaign. Well, Bernie looks at it. This is not Bernie's first rodeo. Bernie has ridden some wild Bronx before. Bernie, along with Joe Biden, are the two most experienced people in that Senate, in a way. And Bernie chuckles and he goes, I agree. And it passes unanimously. Why does it pass unanimously? Because nobody suggested that it go to $15 an hour this year or next year. The Democratic proposal is that it's phased into 15 by 2025. You can't just go full frontal 15 from 7 something in 6 months. I mean, you know, that's very disruptive. You start to ease the way. And this is a very sad little subtext, so I'm going to share it with you. The minimum wage in present dollars in 1968 was about $10.50 an hour. Right now, that's the equivalent of $12 and something an hour. So it would be easy to pass it to 12, and all you would have done is keep it frozen over the last 50 years. And the other little secret that nobody has tumbled to is this. By the time his $15 is in by 2025, it'll be worth $14.50 today. It isn't even 15. It basically, all it does is try to keep pace with inflation. The best thing would be to index the minimum wage to inflation. I mean, that's just the way to do it, for Pete's sake. But we got to go through these games. But Joni Ernst, again, you know, she's the prom queen, but she was not the valedictorian. She was not the valedictorian. So she goes, I will trap Bernie. I'll make him vote against raising it to 15 in the pandemic. Bernie chuckles, and he's ridden that bronc before. He says, I agree, I'll co-sponsor it. We don't want to do it by this year. And everybody comes out of it looking good, except for Joni Ernst. Except for Joni Ernst. Okay, we're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, is what Collins and Manchin did, is that my dad used to refer to as playing both ends against the middle? It's kind of, you know, and it does look like they obviously spoke to each other about
Yeah,
this
I don't
stuff,
see, Dick, I don't see how they didn't talk to each other, because
no,
it passed, everything was hunky-dory, and then they both could pose for holy pictures in West Virginia and Maine.
Yeah, and they all save face, but yeah, what I really called about was, I'm telling you, and I've told people for ever since election, after he was elected, Biden, I'm not as worried about Trump as a lot of people are going forward. Biden's approval rating, do you see it this morning? 61%.
Yep.
Trump has dropped 20 points since December. I'm telling you, this group is going the way of the dodo bird. By next June and July, after all this dust settles from impeachment, people are going to be running from this guy, literally.
You know, I hope you're right. That's a pretty deep insight, and I think you may be right. I'm hoping you're right. But remember, if Trump gets in the primaries and it's a multi-primary of, you know, six people, all he needs is a plurality, and he could be on the ballot and anything can happen. Secondly, what I think may happen, and who knows, I'm speculating, but what I think may happen is, you know, Trump will be 78 years old then, like Biden is now, but he's not in the same shape as Biden. You know, there's a lot of 78-year-old guys that are not going to be running around the country with the energy to do it all. He could very well be Mr. Kingmaker. He could pick out some sycophant, you know, some acolyte, and it could be a Cruz, it could be a Hawley, it could be somebody else who just kisses his boots, licks his boots, and then he would endorse him, and the idea would be the guy would pick up the nut job vote. And, you know, try to go a little more mainstream because he wouldn't be quite as crude as Trump, you know, that kind of thing. I still think Biden wins, and I'm with him 100%, and his approvals, as you say, are very far up. But approvals are funny. Harry Truman was one of the greatest presidents we've had, certainly in the 20th century. He's the guy that put an end to the Second World War. He's the guy that set up NATO and ensured the peace in Europe, got us through economically. By 1952, he couldn't run for re-election. He was exempt from the rule that you can only go two terms. They exempted him by name. They passed it for presidents beyond that, starting with Eisenhower. But he wanted to run. Truman would have run again. His approval ratings were about 25%. They were the worst in history. And why? Because sometimes people react to things that are happening right on the ground and they don't like this or that. So I'm not taking anything for granted. Biden is at 60 some odd now. I hope it maintains itself. But what's going to happen in 2024 is the Republican Party is going to define itself. It's going to define, is it the QAnon party or is it a respectable, patriotic, conservative party? I hope it's the latter. I hope it's the latter. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dick. Very, very good comment. One quick note. Remember the QAnon shaman? I love the guy. The guy with the horns, fur hat, no shirt, war paint. You know, the guy's kind of channeling, I don't know, who's he channeling? Mel Gibson from Fighting for Scotland in the 13th century or something. What? Guy's roaming around in a loincloth or whatever else he had on. Guy's in jail. He should be in jail. He suddenly has developed a taste for organic food. He's got to have organic food. And I'm proud to say the judge said, yes, you know, we don't believe in sadism. We don't believe in mistreating people. They transferred him to a jail that had organic food. Guess where it was? It was in Virginia. They had to find it in Virginia somewhere. And I'm wondering, what kind of jail is that? I mean, what kind of jail is that? I'm glad they do it. Don't get me wrong. They have a dietitian. But the QAnon shaman is there with his horns and his fur. He is grazing on some fine organic chow. Some fine organic chow. He ain't be getting any kind of fine organic chow if he goes to a federal prison, I'll tell you that right now. Unless the ACLU brings a case or something like of that nature. Okay. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.